And thank you, Stacy. What a blessing. That was good. All right, I love this passage, Revelation 1, verses 4 to 7. And we covered that a long time ago in our Revelation class. But it just is such a great passage. And I love verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen." And the King of Kings is coming. Every eye will see him. I'm talking about those that have cursed his name, those that have persecuted his people. Every eye will see him. And it says, they which pierced him, and the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And of course, the battle of Armageddon, which really isn't much of a battle, because he's God, and he's coming. But that's not what I want to preach about today, though we do end up there. And you know, until he comes, he says this. He says in verse 4, "Grace be unto you and peace." Grace and peace to you is what I want to talk to you about today. Grace be unto you and peace. And till he comes, he said that's what we would have. We would have grace, and we've been talking about law, we've been talking about grace, we've talked about mercy. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. And in this passage, we see it again. But not only grace, but peace to you and I. Till he comes. He said, "I'm coming." But he said, "I'm going to give you grace, and I'm going to give you peace, and you're going to be able to make it, and you're going to be able to keep going." We talked about Revelation 3 to the church at Philadelphia. He said, "Hold fast your crown, what you've worked for. Don't give up. Don't quit. Grace and peace." You say today, "I can't make it." Oh, yeah, you can. You have his grace. You say, I'm burdened all around. Yeah, but you also can have his peace. And folks, don't quit. We cannot quit. We've got to keep going. Father, help us to do that, to keep going. Help us to be excited. Help us to not lose what we've worked for. Help us, Lord, to recognize that your grace is sufficient, as you told Paul. It's sufficient, as he besought you three times to rid him of the thorn that was in his flesh. Lord, you said your grace was sufficient, and you promise us peace over and over in the Word of God. Help us just keep going and to keep running our buses and going soul winning and busy for you, I pray, till you do come. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace to you is the title of the message today, taken from verse 4. And again, the seven churches in Asia are representative of churches today, and our church today. There were issues that were dealt with in these churches that we deal with here. There were promises given to them that are promises given to you and I. There are warnings given to them that are warnings given to you and I. But a truth that is given to all seven churches very clearly is, I give you my grace, and I'm going to give you peace. And as we go through our lives today, and there's trouble all around us, there's problems all around us, there's heartache all around us, and all over this room are people going through some valleys and some difficult times. God says, "I promise you my grace and peace. It is for you, and it is to you." And he qualifies everything in this little passage of Scripture right here. And so, you say today, "Well, I'm about to quit." And by the way, some are, and some have. You know, over the years of being a pastor, one of the hardest things, and I mentioned this in Sunday school, is people that have served God faithfully. They've gone on faithfully for years. And maybe taught a Sunday school class, maybe had a bus route. They've put their tithe in the plate week after week after week, trusting God. They started out years ago with a faith promise gift and said, "You know, I'm going to trust God," and they watch God. They've given testimony of what God could do. And then trials come, and heartache comes, and the valleys come, and the storm clouds come. And all of a sudden now, things in their life seem to change, and yet they don't realize that God never changes. God is still God. God's the same God that provided that faith promise years ago when they made God that promise. God's the same God that helped them get up the first time they taught a Sunday school class. God's the same God that helped them on that bus route when they didn't know what to do and they had no idea what it would be like to pick up little bus kids and bring them to church. But God is the same God that helped you to have victory after victory after victory. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. The same grace and the same peace that God, hey, God is still on his throne. God is still God. And we just have to keep going. And we ought to keep going with the fervor and the zeal of a people who realize their king is coming. And he's coming one of these days. It could be soon. What is it that would cause us to quit? I don't know, but people do. People do. If everybody would just stick with it, then we wouldn't have room this morning. Can you imagine? Honestly. The church, this is our 70th anniversary coming up in December. 70 years. Could you imagine how full? I mean, honestly, this building would have been outgrown years ago. If everybody just kept going. Now, I'm not talking about folks that move away. I'm not talking about folks that, they have to move because of a job. I'm not talking about folks that moved away because they moved to heaven. I'm not talking about those that they got married and followed their spouse, or maybe they're on the mission field or pastoring or serving in some other. I'm not even talking about people that went to another church. I'm talking about folks today who used to be here, used to teach, used to be in bus ministries, used to be faithful in church. Today, they just sit at home. And God says, hold fast to your crown. Hold fast to your crown. Keep going. Keep going. And he gives us a reason here. And again, the book of Revelation, we all know what it's about. Christ is coming. We know what it's about. It's to churches, especially in that day, that were going through unbelievable persecution. Unbelievable times in their lives where they're watching their loved ones literally die for the cause of Christ. And we know that it is a book that is encouraging and comforting, and he starts it off so clearly with grace and peace to you. Grace, my grace, it is sufficient. My grace, keep doing right, keep going, hold fast, keep going. And here to these seven churches, he says so clearly, don't quit. Don't quit. He says, I want you to know some things. And here we see what he wants us to know. First of all, he wants us to know his devotion to us. His devotion to us. In verse 5, what a precious, precious verse this is. Verse 5, there toward the bottom, unto him that loved us. Wow. I mean, God, do you understand God loves you? You know, that should never get old to you. I know as a teenager, it was the first time I heard. I suppose as a child, I didn't grow up in church, and I suppose as a child I might have heard that, but the first time I remember somebody telling me that, I was a teenager. Somebody said, God loves you. And you know, don't ever get tired of telling people God loves you. You know, we as Christians, we hear it all the time. Well, yeah, I memorized John 3:16, and I've got it. Don't ever get tired of John 3:16. Don't ever get tired of Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I had somebody say, that's a children's song. That's my song. I could sing that over and over again. You know, Jesus loves me, and his devotion to us it's unbelievable. Unto him that loved us. He loves us. And understand that God loves you. What about his devotion that we see so clearly? First of all, it's his devotion's personal. He loves me. Don't ever get tired of that. I mean, some of you this morning, you need to get a smile on your face. You need to let it sink in that God Almighty loves you. It's a personal love. Do you understand? To the United States of America, you're just a number. That's all you are. You're a number. You know? Now, nowhere does it say the government's supposed to love you. And they don't. You're a number. You know, I'm a number to them. Understand, God knows your name. He knows your name. He knows all about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your tears in the middle of the night. He knows when you get up. He knows when you lay down. He knows all the in-between about that. He knows your name. That's an awesome thing to think about. In John's day, certainly, as this letter was written, the individual didn't matter then either. I mean, a lot of people were slaves. They were nothing. They were the off-scouring of the world. And in so many of them realize that. Understand, the United States government doesn't really care about you. They don't really care about me. But Jesus, he loves me personally. It is a personal devotion that he has to me. It is a personal devotion that he has to you. It says, unto him that loved us, he loves you. Look at Psalm 8. Powerful, powerful passage of scripture in Psalm 8. And if you get a chance sometime, you want to memorize a passage of scripture, Psalm 8's a good one. When I consider, verse 3, when I consider the heavens, think about the heavens, all right? The stars, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Think about the heavens, folks. Honestly, get out in a field sometime or get somewhere on a beach and it's night and look up at all the stars up there. And just stop and think about that and look at that. I remember the first time I really understood this passage of Scripture. I was at my mom's when we were in Bible college, and we visited my mom who lived near Hawthorne, Florida, and she lived on a little pond right there. And I was sitting out on a dock at about 12 o'clock midnight, and I was looking up, and it was just amazing, the expanse without any trees or anything, and I could really look up at the stars. And I thought about this, and all the heavens, the stars, the planets, the moon, the sun, all of that. And you look up there and look at verse 4, and this is what the psalmist is saying. What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? You see it? And the son of man that thou visitest him. Who in the world are we? I mean, when you look up at the heavens and you look up at the stars and the planets and all that God has done, and yet he knows my name. And he knows me. And I remember that night sitting there on the dock and looking up at the sky, and I realized, wow, God loves me. And I remember singing there, and I didn't know who all was hearing me. I'm sure the fish all took off. But I just heard to sing, the love of God. The love of God is greater far. You know, and folks, understand something. You know, You say, yeah, but I'm going through a tough time. God loves you. His devotion is personal to you. What is man that thou art mindful? You know, in so many systems today, one person doesn't matter. Thank God in the Bible, he left the 99 to go find the one. You know, in so many said, well, we can't judge everybody by the one, and I understand that. You know, the group is so important and everything. But to God, the one is important. You are important to God. Doesn't matter what you've done today, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter if you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, doesn't matter today. God loves you. Praise the Lord for that. You know, that's why we're excited about a bus ministry. That's why we're excited about a shepherd's ministry. Do you understand? We can get up before shepherds today, and Brother Stewart's back there, and we can get up before all the, and tell them without any hesitation at all, God loves you. Amen. No hesitation. We can run our buses. We can run them into rich neighborhoods. We can run them into poor neighborhoods. We can bring anybody, and doesn't matter who it is. Could be the toughest dude in the whole city. Could be the nastiest person in the whole city. And we can tell that person without any hesitation, God loves you. God loves you. I was talking to, we were at the basketball tournament and in Fort Wayne, Indiana. There's some pretty, pretty rough people and some pretty, pretty rough gangs. And we were playing against a team and one of the boys, he was kind of rough. And he was not like a lot of the kids. And I was talking to Brenda's dad, who goes to that church where that boy goes. And I was talking to him, and he said, "Oh yeah," he said, I "that boy's dad was one of the meanest men in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was one of the roughest guys." in Fort Wayne, and now he reads his Bible and he prays and he goes to church. You know, you can, but I have no, I can knock on any door in this city. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter if it's the richest guy in town or the poorest guy. Doesn't matter if it's the nicest guy or the meanest guy. Doesn't matter what he does for a living. Doesn't matter where he's been. I can go to the jail. Amen. I can go to the hospital. I can go in the nursing home. I can tell anybody today, and you can too. God loves you. God loves you. Isn't that amazing? Somebody was talking before the service. Said somebody asked him one time, because they had committed murder. And they said, can God forgive me? Isn't it wonderful you can tell a murderer that God can forgive them? God will forgive them. And even better yet, God loves you. God loves you. Wow. It's personal. His devotion is personal. John chapter 10, he knows my name. And I love it. I love the story of Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And we like that. And we get excited about that. I understand Brother Chase preached about Zacchaeus and stood on my pulpit the other day. Don't forget the pulpit standing fine. But, no, I'm just kidding. But, the best thing about Zacchaeus, you know what I like about Zacchaeus more than anything? God called him Zacchaeus. God didn't say, hey, you. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. He didn't say, hey, you. He said, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down here. Zacchaeus. God knew his name. By the way, you didn't know Zacchaeus' name if you didn't read the Bible. You'd never heard of Zacchaeus. Come on, how many little babies have been named Zacchaeus that you know about? Anybody? You have one? That's close. Shh. All right. But anyway, you asked, Pastor. All right, that's my fault. But look, honestly, Zacchaeus, he said. He knew his name. That is awesome. I'll tell you what, you ought to get excited today about that. His devotion is personal. And then the second thing under this is his devotion's powerful. It is so powerful. You know, the Bible says here, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Oh my, isn't that amazing? His devotion, it's powerful. He didn't have to do that. Do you realize? God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not that we were attractive to him. He came to us while we were yet sinners. That ought to amaze you, honestly. You know, it's all these people think they're going to work their way to heaven. That's not attracting God. When did he find me? While I was a sinner. He's come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost, the Bible says. While we were yet sinners. When did he come to me? He came to me while I was cursing him is when he came to me. How about you? He all over this room. Well, somebody says, he came when I was a drunk. Isn't that just like him? He came when I was hooked on drugs. That's just like him, isn't it? He came when I had no hope. Yeah, that's just like him. He came when I was cursing his name. That's just like God. He came when I gambled away everything that I had. That's just like God. Isn't that wonderful? He came when I was in prison. He came when I was in the hospital. He came to me when I was living like the devil. He came to me. He sought me out. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He loved the rich young ruler, but he also loved the Samaritan woman. Oh, listen to me. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. He loved Lazarus, but he also loved the woman who committed adultery. That's our God. That's powerful devotion. That's powerful devotion. He loved John. John leaned on his bosom, the Bible says, but he also loved those who drove the spikes into his hands and into his feet, and the man that took a whip and peeled the skin off of his body, and he loved him too. It's amazing to me. It's amazing his devotion and how powerful. His devotion is unsolicited. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His devotion is unmerited. Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's amazing to me. His devotion is unquenchable. Song of Solomon 8, verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood drown it. Huh? You know, the devil's tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing unquenchable. His devotion is unchangeable. John 13, verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Wow. You don't have to work with teenagers very long to find out they're in love about every other day. Honestly. I mean, it amazes me. It really does. They'll tell me, "Oh, Pastor, I'm in love with so-and-so." And I say, "Okay, all right." By the way, I've learned not to tell them they're not. I've learned just say, "Okay, all right, well, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, he's the greatest, you know." 2 days later, "I can't stand that guy." Then the next day, "I'm in love again, you know, and it's somebody else." You know, isn't it wonderful? God loves us to the end. Oh, my. Unchangeable. We change. He doesn't change. And his love is always there. You ever kind of feel not lovely? Not lovable? Yeah. Somebody called me the other day and they just said, I've done so many bad things. And I said, "Listen to me. God loves you. He still loves you. Let him put his arms around you and just love on you a little bit." Amen. Amen. You say, "Preacher, I just can't go on." Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. God's love, it's unchangeable. You know those folks that aren't in church today? Those folks that you talk to them now, they say, I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go to church. You know people like that? Understand, God still loves him. Still loves him. Still loves him. And his devotion is unending. Romans 8, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" No. It's unending. The devil tries. He'll whisper in your ear that God doesn't love you. "Look what you did." Isn't that amazing about the devil? He'll talk you into doing it, and then when you do it, he'll accuse you for doing it. Yeah. "Look what you did. Look what you..." Hey, that's not very good. "God's mad at you. God doesn't love you." Listen to me. Devil, you're a liar. Try that sometime. Devil, you're a liar. "God loves me. I blew it, but God loves me. He loves me." Praise the Lord. His devotion, it's personal. It's powerful. His devotion's provided to us. "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." Luke 19:10. He gave himself. He didn't find somebody else to do it. He gave himself. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He died in my place. He provided my salvation because he loved me. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." You know, that's it's provided. His love. We have a lot of people that say, "I love you." And you'd never believe it. You ever have anybody say they love you and stab you? Read your Old Testament. It happens over and over again. You know, "Oh, my brother, I love you." Read it. Huh? Joab, Abner, read it. You know, "Oh, let me just give you a hug of Christian love." And while the arm's around there, pull out the dagger. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus said, "I love you." That's what Jesus did. He gave his life for us. Amen. How many times you're close. You know, I just can't go on. But you stop and you think, but look what he did. What if hanging on the cross he said, "Enough! Angels, get me off this cross." I'm so glad he didn't come down. We used to sing a song at camp meeting, "He Didn't Come Down." That's a good song. Find that. We ought to sing that sometime. It's a good song. We can be saved today, not because of our love for him, but because of his love for us. His devotion is personal, it's powerful, it's provided for us. That's why you can't quit today. his devotion. Number two, here's another reason, his deliverance. See, it doesn't just end with devotion. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. From our sins. Number two is his deliverance. His deliverance. From our sins. Not somebody else's sins. Well, I know we're wanting to blame everybody else, right? Kids grow up, teenager, and they're going to blame mom and dad. Then they become adults and they blame some other relative, or they'll blame the church, or it was the pastor's fault. It was that youth director. I know what it is. Yeah. No, let's be realistic here about what the Bible says. And it says here, washed us from our sins, my sins, in his blood, his deliverance, from my sins. Amen. From your sins. His deliverance from the penalty of sin. Amen. The penalty, what's that? To die and go to hell. I don't have to go to hell now. Do you understand that? Hey, Christian, you don't have to go to hell now. John 3, verse 36, look at it. God's wrath, John 3 and verse 36. Good verse to have marked in your Bible to show somebody who's not saved, and especially when they say, well, I'm not going to make any decision one way or another. John chapter 3 talks about him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I have been delivered from the penalty of sin. I have been delivered from the curse of the law, which is death. We've been talking about grace. We've been talking about the law. And the law says that I am a sinner, and I am guilty, and I deserve hell, but because Jesus paid the price for me, I don't have to go to hell now. The curse of the law, it has no power over me. Death has no power. Death has no claim. Hell has no claim. In Christ, I've been made free. He delivered me from the penalty of sin. I don't know if that means anything to you. I don't know if that means, you know, it should. It should, because that penalty is the penalty every one of us deserves. But not only does he deliver us from the penalty of sin with his blood, but he also delivers us from the power of sin. Because sin puts us in bondage. But in Christ, we're set free. The power of sin. Look at Proverbs 5, verse 22. Proverbs 5 and verse 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. How are you going to break that? How does the alcoholic break it? How does the drug addict break it? How does the person who's hooked on pornography, how do they break that? How do they get away? Only the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The only way. Yeah, sin gives bondage, but God delivers us. You say, David, but preacher, I it's just too hard to serve God. It's too hard to do right. It's too hard to read my Bible, and it's too hard with everybody else wanting to do. Listen to me. He gave you deliverance from the power of sin. He gave me deliverance. I first time I got up to preach, and you've heard it before, but understand, God saved me from a life of cussing and swearing and wicked talk and filthy talk, and I begged him before I got up and spoke the first time, please, God, don't let me say anything I shouldn't say. I'm going to tell you something. He delivered me from the power of sin. A guy that every other word was a cuss word, a swear word, a nasty, filthy word. And God broke the chains. I'm amazed every time, every service, every time I preach, that only God could clean that up and could take away that power that sin had over me. You say today, I just can't get victory. You can. It's not because you can't, it's because you won't. Because in the blood, there's power. There's power, wonder-working power. Don't quit because of sin, because you can get victory over sin. Don't you dare say, oh, I just can't get off the internet. I just can't get off the chat room. I just can't get away from. You can. You can. The problem is, you won't. Oh, I just can't get away. I can't get away. I'm going to quit my Sunday school class. I'm going to get out of the bus ministry. I'm going to quit going to church. I'm going to find somewhere else to go. Hey, listen to me. There's power in the blood. Still. You look around this. I look around. I can't see very well, but I know where you sit. And I know some folks, God's power is evident in your life. Oh, praise God. Praise God for his deliverance from the power of sin. Your biggest problem is you're yielding to that sin, and you got to want deliverance. Yeah, and his deliverance from the penalty, from the power of sin, from the presence of sin. Oh, let me tell you, one of these days, there's not going to be any sin. In heaven, there's no sin. And there's no sinfulness. In heaven, none. It'll be gone. And you'll be able to look people in the eyes when you get to heaven. And you won't have to feel guilty when you get to heaven. You won't have to worry about your wicked thoughts when you get to heaven. And you won't have to worry about anybody's wicked thoughts. You won't surmise about anybody's motives. Somebody says, Pastor, I'd like to come over and take a dip in your chocolate lake. And I'll say, hallelujah, go ahead, brother. It just keeps refilling. Because a dip in a chocolate lake is not to swim, it's to drink. Amen? Oh, boy, some folks, you need a glorified imagination. Amen? But there's no sin in heaven. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Seriously. You know, you won't wonder what anybody's thinking. You know, your eyes won't be darting all over the place because you're fearful they'll figure out what you're thinking. Oh, what a wonderful thought that is. But that's deliverance. See, that's how you can make it. You really can. We have a great future ahead. It's going to be good. And how's that all possible? His own blood. Do you know rivers of tears can't wash away sin? You can cry and cry and cry and cry. His blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What about Ajax? Can't do it. Can't do it. No. What about Pine Sol? Nope. Can't do it. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, I know the big religions don't talk about the blood anymore. Guess what? They're missing out. They're missing out. Why, you know, I know. Well, you know, you talk about that blood, that's not going to be popular. Oh, it may not be popular, but it cleanses. Amen. It may not be popular, but it's powerful. Oh, glory to God. I can't even imagine. You know, the blood of animals can't wash away our sins. The blood of goats, the blood of bulls. In the Old Testament, never could. Couldn't wash away sins. Huh? You know what can, though? The blood of Jesus Christ. And he gave it himself. You ever give blood? How many have ever given blood? Remember one time I gave blood and I was in a hurry? By the way, never give blood when you're in a hurry. I was in a hurry and I told the guy, I said, you know, can you kind of hurry? I'm trying to be a good guy and give blood. And so he said, okay, go ahead and squeeze your fist. Well, I thought maybe if I squeezed faster, that would speed things up. Yeah. Next thing I remember them putting stuff under my nose. It didn't smell very good. Because I passed out. Don't give blood. Try to speed it up. But, you know, you feel pretty good when you give blood, don't you? You know, you're trying to help somebody out unless your blood's bad. You know, when I was borderline diabetic, they didn't want my blood. But anyway, you know, he gave his blood so we could be saved. Amazing. His devotion, his deliverance, and then my last point is his dominion. Look what verse 6 says. Hey, you know, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying don't quit. You keep reading your Bible every day. Just keep reading your Bible. Keep praying every day. Go to cottage prayer meetings when you can. Amen. Come to church, be faithful. Just keep going, keep going. Keep soul winning. Tell people, get a stack of tracts, put them in your pocket. Ladies, put them in your purse. Hand them out everywhere you go. Talk to people. Tell your neighbors about Jesus. Amen. Keep going. Keep telling them. Sunday school teacher, keep teaching. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up his dominion. Notice what it says in verse 6, and hath made. Now, hath made to me, I don't know a whole lot about English. I used to know a whole lot about English. I don't know a whole lot, but hath made to me means he did it. Done. Hath made us kings and priests. Hath made. When did that happen? When I trusted him as Savior. I'm a king. Priest. Hath made. Hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. His dominion. I'm part of it. Amen. Kings and priests. That sounds good to me. I just don't think I can make it. You're a king. What do you mean you can't make it? Huh? Hath made. Praise the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 2, real quick. Psalm 40, verse 2. You say, why do you say real quick? Because it encourages some folks. Someday on the first point, I'm going to say real quick. And it'll be amazing, the result. Psalm 40, verse 2. I love it. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And he's made us a king and a priest. And here we are out of the mud hole and on the throne. Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, you know, here's the old muddy boy, the old muddy person. Here's a miry person. You say, who are you? Well, I was miry. I was muddy. Uh-huh. What are you now? Didn't you see my crown? Kings and priests. That's his dominion. Huh? All things are new. He's made us righteous. He's made us kings. We have a citizenship in heaven. We have fellowship with saints. We have fellowship with angels. We have fellowship with God. We're citizens of a heavenly city. I mean, glory to God. We're going to be rulers, and we're going to reign, and I'm going to be the mayor of Maui, and my wife's going to be the mayoress of Oahu, and we're going to fly back and forth, or helicopter back and forth, or fly. I don't know what we'll do then, but we'll just be wherever we need to be. And I don't know what it's going to be like, but I do know this. His dominion is everlasting. Read the book of Daniel sometime. And his dominion, his kingdom is the stone cut out without hands. That's where his kingdom comes from. Amen. And it hits the image. That's all a man's kingdoms. And they come tumbling down. And his grows up and becomes the kingdom that never, never shall be destroyed. It'll never come down. His dominion. That's his dominion. Oh, you Christians, you need to just be quiet, and you need to just dry up and blow away. And you Christians, we're gonna run you out of here. No, you're not. No, you're not. The meek shall inherit the earth. No, you're not. Well, what makes you so great? That's all. That's all. Who do you think you are? I'm a mud ball. But he's my father. Amen. Amen. That's it. That's what you are. That's what we are. Huh? Well, what gives you a right? Him. His dominion. And you know what? How he closes it out here? He says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Can you imagine what it's going to be like, folks? Can you imagine? Behold, he cometh, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and it's worth it. Just keep going. Hold fast, he said to the Church of Philadelphia. Hold on to your crown. I said this in Sunday school. It doesn't have Velcro on it. Okay, it's not just going to hang on to itself. You grab hold of it, and you say, I'm going to keep going for Jesus. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going. I'm going to smile. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to whoopee every now and then. I'm going to be excited about my God. I'm going to sing songs. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to be thrilled. Why? Because he loves me. And his devotion is toward me. And he delivered me from the mess of my life. And everything is my sin he delivered me from. How'd he do it? With his own blood. And his dominion, it's eternal. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No looking around. Grace and peace to you. His grace, his peace. You can make it. You can do it. Keep going. Keep going. I wonder if there's someone here and say, preacher, I'd sure like to have that. I've never been saved. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not real sure about all that. Sure sounds good. Is there someone say, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone at all? I don't know if I'm saved. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand. All over. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your grace, your peace that you give to us. Thank you for what you've done in the salvation that you've given to us. But God, help us to realize it's not over. You still give us grace every day, peace every day. Father, help us to keep going. In Jesus' name, amen.